What you need to know right now on GMA3. Justice Department officials shut down what they call a $100 million fake diploma scheme, allegedly allowing thousands of people to take shortcuts toward becoming licensed nurses.
The uproar over the blocking of advanced placement African American history studies in Florida. We'll hear from the American Federation of Teachers about the calls to action against Governor Ron DeSantis.
I feel honored that I get to make this art and that everyone is actually like seeing it and sharing it and showing the world how cool Baltimore is.
Sprinkling a little sunshine on the signature salt boxes all around Baltimore. The artist with the beautifying idea.
Plus, jumpstarting your personal energy levels. The little things you can do to keep your energy up for your best me in 23.
Now from Times Square, Amy Robach and TJ Holmes with Dr. Jen Ashton and What You Need to Know.
Why? Because it's what?
It's your golden hour.
We can't sing, but we try, folks. Good afternoon to you, and welcome to What You Need to Know. Happy Friday Eve. It is Thursday. We're both in for TJ Holmes and Amy Robach on this Thursday. I'm DeMarco Morgan.
And I'm Rhiannon Alley. It truly is the golden hour. We have Dr. Jen Ashton in Los Angeles all week. And Dr. Jen, I'm sorry you're not here in studio because we have a special guest, Jake.
What a treat.
He is amazing.
I heard, but listen, I am impressed with DeMarco's pipes.
No, that's shower singing right there.
No, you can
Jake sing. Is the man. We're also going to take our viewers to one of the oldest winter festivals in our country's history, more than 100 years in St. Paul, Minnesota. There's an award-winning ice sculptor that we can't wait to tell you about, Dr.
Yeah.
Jen.
He's got a special surprise for GMA3 viewers. We can't wait for that, Dr. Jen. But in a moment, we'll get to you. We're going to track the day's major developments. Take a look at this big number we want to show you. The close encounter expected tonight, an asteroid the size of a truck, is expected to orbit within 2,200 miles from Earth tonight. But there's no reason to worry about it, at least according to NASA.
They always say don't worry.
Don't
All right, Dr.
worry.
Jen, back to you now. A new study just released looks at the benefits of bariatric surgery for patients with obesity there, severe obesity. You're trained in obesity medicine. I'll break down what we need to know.
Yeah, and you guys, this is a really important study just published in the Obesity Journal, finding weight loss surgery, bariatric surgery, over a 40-year follow-up period to be safe, effective, durable, sustainable, impactful. Some of their highlights, they looked at mortality rates, that's death rates of people undergoing weight loss surgery versus non-surgical patients, then paired them up by age, sex, body mass index. We're talking about surgeries like gastric bypass, sleeve gastrectomy, the gastric lap band or gastric band or something called a duodenal switch. And their findings in terms of benefits, death rates significantly lower after surgery compared to patients who didn't have surgery. Also found a lowering of rates and risk and death due to diabetes, heart disease, and cancer. Complications-wise, they did see an increase in chronic liver disease like cirrhosis and unfortunately and surprisingly, suicide rates, which were higher amongst people who had surgery versus who didn't. But again, sum total here, the benefits clearly outweigh the risks, and this can actually be life-saving in the vast majority of patients with severe obesity.
And Dr. Jen, what about the mental health impact that this surgery can have?
Well, that's so important. I'm glad you asked about it, Rhiannon. And you have to connect mind and body. So you can't just treat someone physically and not mentally. So they did find in most cases that rates of depression and anxiety that were tied oftentimes to the conditions of obesity went down. But again, this is really about connecting the dots for every individual with overweight and obesity.
All right, Dr. Jen, thank you. We'll see you in a few.
We want to turn now to ABC's Alex Perchet in Washington with our latest headlines. Good afternoon, Alex.
Hey, Rhiannon. Good to see you. We're going to begin here with developments overseas and Russia's war on Ukraine. The new attacks overnight, around 80 missiles and drones fired off, killing at least four people during infrastructure strikes in southern and western Ukraine, just hours after the U.S. and Germany announced they'll be sending fleets of tanks to the region to support Ukraine's defense against Russian invaders. And federal agents bringing an alleged scheme to a halt, they say sold fake nursing diplomas, calling it Operation Nightingale, arresting more than two dozen people in several states. Investigators say the operation allowed thousands to take shortcuts when it comes to their licensing, putting patients in potential jeopardy. The report card on the health of the economy, new numbers from the Commerce Department indicating the U.S. economy slowing but still growing at a pace of 2.9% in the last quarter of 2022, despite the pressures of rising interest rates and a possible recession on the horizon. The deep February freeze on the way for next week on the heels of the latest winter storm making its way out, causing treacherous driving in the Midwest and Ohio Valley with about 20 tornadoes reported across three states. And now 323 days without snow in New York City, on the way to breaking a record set back in 1973. And finally here today, you can't make this stuff up. A hilarious moment caught on camera on the court thanks to an apparent Uber Eats delivery man. Caught on camera there, you see in the bottom right of your screen, wandering close to the action. That Uber Eats delivery man at the Duquesne and Loyola Chicago game, dropping off someone's meal courtside. And you know what's wild about this is Duquesne's coach actually said this isn't the craziest thing he's seen when he was an assistant at Eastern Michigan. Fans actually delivered ice cream to the coaches during the middle of the game. So apparently
they're like ice cream, right?
Yeah, why not? And hey, Alex, I have to let you know, DeMarco and I checked before the show, and Uber Eats does deliver to Columbus, Ohio,
yeah,
by
and
the
you'll
way.
Be able to afford it because you got a, you know, a little boost in your paycheck. I want to say congratulations to you on your promotion to correspondent.
Thank
we are
you
so proud of you, man.
Congrats.
You deserve it.
Thank you so much.
Of
I really
course.
Appreciate it.
He's going to be ordering a lot of Uber Eats, you know it. And there's much more ahead right here on this Thursday, GMA 3. The battle's shaping up inside the classroom when it comes to teaching Black history. Our next guests dig into the latest controversial move by Governor Ron DeSantis in Florida.
Plus, turning the ordinary into something special. That's what artists do, of course. We'll meet the one sprinkling creativity throughout one major city. GMA 3 will be right back. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to GMA 3. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is blocking an advanced placement African American studies course from being taught in Florida high schools. In response to the move, the civil rights attorney Ben Crump announcing his plans to sue if the decision is upheld.
It is a big talker. Let's bring in Frederick Ingram, Secretary Treasurer of the American Federation of Teachers, which represents around 1.7 million teachers nationwide, and ABC News contributor LZ Granderson. Welcome to the both of you.
Good afternoon.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
All right, Frederick, we'll start with you. During yesterday's press conference, you said sometimes in America, our history is good, bad, and ugly, but all of it needs to be taught. You also called on Governor DeSantis to let teachers do their job. As a former Florida public school teacher yourself, what concerns you the most about the blocking of this class?
Well, what concerns me really, and first of all, DeMarco, thank you for having me. You know, this is not step one for this governor. This is probably step five in a grander scheme of things, because this is hoisting political ideology into our classrooms and into our schools. We should trust our teachers to do the right things. And this governor is trying to run our classrooms and schools from the governor's mansion. This is a governor who has banned books in the state of Florida. This is a governor who has tried to heavy hand our school boards. This is a governor who is telling teachers, and they are scared and they're afraid of him and the Department of Education, because he will not allow them or is trying to stop them from organizing, trying to stop them from saying the truth. And this is ultimately going to hurt our kids. It's going to hurt the Black community, and it's going to hurt those students who would take this class as an option to explore the good, bad, and ugly of our history, which makes them better students and better adults for society.
LZ, let's bring you in. AP classes are, of course, college-level courses. At this level, students there are expected to take difficult information, sometimes from perspectives they don't even necessarily agree with, and then think critically about it. When we see these larger political controversies playing out in the classroom, how does this really impact the students?
Well, let's look back a couple of years, right? So shortly after the murder of George Floyd, you began noticing people, companies, individuals, well-educated individuals talk about Juneteenth all of a sudden as if they had just discovered it. And a lot of people, if you go back, they question, why didn't I hear of this before? Why didn't I know this before? Well, because of governors like Ron DeSantis, that's why. Making sure that this information isn't available for people to understand our history. So how this impacts students is reflective in terms of how it impacts adults. Think about all the adults that have never heard of the Tulsa Massacre. Why? Well, it wasn't being taught. And we didn't discover those two examples until after the assassination of George Floyd. So the classes that he's trying to ban are just additional courses, not to indoctrinate students, but to inform students. So as they continue to grow, they have a better understanding of not just our history, but why we have our present as well.
Frederick, this AP African American Studies course is currently being tested in a small number of schools across the country. Can you tell us about its curriculum as it currently stands and why you believe it's important?
Sure. Well, there are four frameworks that make up the AP course. It's the origin of the African diaspora, it's freedom and enslavement and resistance, the practice of freedom, and the movements and debates. And what we're simply asking this governor is, what are you afraid of? We want to teach honest history. We want to teach a complete history, and that is inclusive of African American studies. And so there is nothing in this that is going to hurt America, that is going to hurt our kids. We're not indoctrinating anybody. In fact, we believe that he is trying to indoctrinate folks with limiting the amount of classes or the options of classes that our kids can take. Listen, in Florida, we already teach AP European history. And so if that is okay for all of our students to take, then we should have a full understanding and respect for AP African American Studies.
And earlier this week, Governor DeSantis did defend his decision to block the course. So take a listen to what he had to say.
This course on Black history, what's one of the lessons about? Queer theory. Now, who would say that an important part of Black history is queer theory? That is somebody pushing an agenda on our kids.
LZ, what is your response to that?
He's just showcasing his ignorance. He is showcasing, and I don't mean that as an insult, but anyone who understands our history knows that the March on Washington was organized by an openly gay man. Anyone who understands our history knows that the Harlem Renaissance featured many queer artists who helped push forward civil rights conversations, like Langston Hughes, like James Baldwin, like Lorraine Hansberry. Anyone who understands our history knows that queer presence was available, was present at the very beginning of jazz music. The Take the A-Train was composed with Duke Ellington by an openly gay man. Blues, Ma Rainey. There are so many examples of queer presence intermingled and part of the larger African-American culture, that for the governor to say that all he is doing is showcasing how little he knows about the country, and also indirectly emphasizing the importance of this course.
And Frederick, just a final question for you, if we can, really quickly. Florida's Commissioner of Education tweeted that the course is filled with critical race theory and other obvious violations of federal law, Florida law, I should say. Florida has notably banned the teaching of critical race theory. How confident are you that this curriculum is legally allowed to be taught in Florida schools?
Listen, let me first go back and say we don't teach critical race theory in our schools. We never have. Critical race theory, we go through this again and again, is a law school presence and a theory that is only taught to our law students. So our K-12 teachers are doing the job that they always have done. They're creating magic in our classrooms between the teacher and the student. All we're asking for is the magic working materials. We need funding in the state of Florida. We are 48th in the nation in teacher pay. We have right now today over 5,000 classrooms that do not have a certified teacher. That is a direct reflection of what's going on with the governor and his assault on teachers and students and Black communities, and frankly, Hispanic communities and LGBTQ communities as well. Because this is a governor that, if you don't agree with him, and then he seeks to destroy you. And he's not going to destroy our public schools, nor our teachers, nor our students, nor the Black community. And as we go up on February 1st, as a tribute to Black History Month, shame on this governor for the timing and being on the wrong side of history, both figuratively and literally.
All right, Secretary Treasurer of the American Federation of Teachers, Frederick Ingram, and ABC News contributor and Los Angeles Times columnist, LZ Grandison, thanks to the both of you.
Up next, right here on GMA3, taking a common object, one you might not even notice, and turning it into something really special.
Those sod boxes are a signature sight in the city of Baltimore. We're going to meet the artist brightening the bleak winter landscape when we come back. Stay with us.
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers Group Text Podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one group text you won't want to exit. Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we're back now with a sprinkling of creativity popping up all around the city of Baltimore. The artist taking something common and transforming it into something beautifully unique. Take a look.
Baltimore's so special to me because I don't think that this could happen really many other places. We're just a bunch of, quirky, crafty, creative people. For the past 16 years, I've run the Broken Plate Pendant Company. People send me their sentimental broken china for me to make jewelry and art from. That's my main business. In recent years, I'm more known for my saltbox art. A saltbox is about a 24-inch cube wood box with a slanted lid, and the city puts them out about 1,000 every winter. They have salt and sand in them to help residents when it's snowy, icy out, when the plows can't get down the street. I was kind of afraid of getting in trouble for damaging city property, but when the box showed up without its letters, there was snow in the forecast. The neighborhood was facing its second COVID shutdown, so I thought this would be a fun little morale boost for the neighborhood. The process to create the salt boxes just starts with me researching images, Baltimore-based themes, movies, like icons around town. So the very first box, I installed it 9 o'clock in the morning. And I tweeted out that someone has vandalized the salt box. Obviously everyone knew it was me because it was recycled china, but I was just trying to be silly. And a couple hours later, the Department of Transportation retweeted it, said that they loved it and invited other artists to take part in this. The community's response was instantly really positive. People were making pilgrimages to come hunt for salt boxes and see them in real life. So it was just a fun way to bring everybody together when we couldn't actually get together. I feel honored that I get to make this art and that everyone is actually seeing it and sharing it and showing the world how cool Baltimore is. To make the Baltimore salt box an icon on the level that it's on the Ravens Christmas card, it's everywhere now. If I could turn this little unassuming box into an icon, I'm really proud of that.
She's a boss. I think she could take this project on the road across the country, not just Baltimore.
Yes, we could all use a little more beauty.
Yes.
Up next right here on GMA3, Dr. Jen is back with how just 12 seconds can make a huge difference in how you think.
And the TikTok star rocketing to the top of the Billboard charts with well over 1 billion views.
Jake
joins us here. We're back in a moment. We love him.
Welcome back to GMA3. Dr. Jen Ashton joins us now live in Los Angeles.
Yeah, and Dr. Jen, we got a lot to talk about. There's an updated, booster that has shown to be effective for those fully vaccinated.
Right. So the CDC just releasing their latest data on the bivalent COVID-19 booster. They looked at healthy, non-immune compromised adults here in the U.S. from early December through mid-January and really tracked Did they get infected with COVID-19, this new variant? And if they did, how sick? And did they receive the booster? Were they vaccinated or were they completely unvaccinated? And the data on this bivalent booster, you guys, is really good, showing 52% efficacy in symptomatic COVID-19. So remember, that's not 52% effective in preventing us from getting infected at all. It's just severely ill. And that's really important. That is estimated to result in saving thousands of lives due to COVID-19. So again, still time to get boosted, but the data looks pretty good on this new bivalent booster.
Now, I know these were self-reported results. What does that mean as far as the accuracy goes?
Well, I mean, you're thinking like an epidemiologist. It's important because obviously when self-reporting is in there, there can be bias, there can be what's called collection bias or selection bias. But still, right now, it's just important for us to get data on how these vaccines and boosters are behaving in the real world and analyze that data and report that data. So bottom line, it's really holding up pretty well against the new variant.
All right, Dr. Jen, thank you. So you're a doctor now.
Dr. Jen says no way.
She says no way.
She's not
really
letting
quick.
Me get away with that.
All right, folks, we're back in a moment. he is cold as ice. Welcome back to GMA3, What You Need to Know. Making the most of winter right there. That is Master Carver Chris Swarbrick doing his thing out there at an American treasure. The St. Paul, Minnesota Winter Carnival, that event going strong for now 137 years, by the way. We're going to talk to Carver Chris in just a little bit. But first, let's check in out with Dr. Jen. She's joining us back now with a medical topic.
Yep, she's out in warm Los Angeles, not cold as ice out there. Dr. Jen.
Yep.
Good to see you. So let's talk perimenopause. A lot of women going through this. Are there actual tests you can ask your doctor for if you think you're going through perimenopause?
Well, there are, but let's back up for a second. First of all, perimenopause can actually start 10 years before a woman officially enters menopause, which we define as 12 months without a menstrual period. So yes, even potentially a 40-year-old or even a 38-year-old could start having some kinds of symptoms, which, you know, listen, range head to toe. So oftentimes women will come in and say, I want to be tested for perimenopause or menopause. And as I said, that's usually a diagnosis we make by looking backwards. So in terms of blood tests you can ask for, checking your thyroid is hormones 101. So that's easy to do. And then there are two other blood tests that we use to kind of give us a measure of how the ovaries are acting. One's called Inhibin, one is called FSH. And again, that with a good history of what's going on with that woman can give us some information, but this is not a diagnosis that we usually make until it's in our rearview mirror. So it can be a little tricky.
All right, it's time now for your prescription for wellness.
Yep, and comes from my colleagues in the world of mental health. Some tips on how to deal not just with overall day-to-day stress, although this can help too, but traumatic stress. So number one, validate your experience. This is how we talk to ourselves, by recognizing what we've been through. That's the first step in dealing with it. In terms of sleep, you guys, sleeping with a weighted blanket, I don't know if you've ever tried that, but it can give the sensation of actually being held, and that physical support can be helpful mentally as well. And then this, very cool, just having a positive thought for 12 seconds has been found in some studies to actually help reset the neurons in our brain and stimulate kind of that positive message and connectivity on a cellular neurologic level. So 12 seconds, just tell yourself, I'm going to be fine, things are okay, I'm safe. That type of mental thought and dialogue is really therapeutic.
Ah, that's pretty cool. 12 seconds. Yeah, got to adapt that quickly.
And teach our kids.
There you go.
Well, thank you, Dr. Jen.
Thank you very much.
And
you can submit your own questions to us right here at ABC GMA3. All right, just ahead here, your best me in 23. We're looking to maximize our energy levels in some ways that may surprise you.
We're not just talking caffeine. Plus, cue the snow. We are taking you to Minnesota for the famous Winter Carnival in St. Paul. Look at how cool that is. GMA3 will be right back.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
It is a beautiful life. Welcome back to GMA3. Time now for your Best Me and 23. It's a series of self-improving this month with more help now to recharge and refuel.
Our guest is a physician, an author, and a professional biohacker with tips on how to maximize our energy levels and live healthier. It's all in her new book, The Spark Factor. Please welcome Dr. Molly Maloof.
Dr. Maloof, good to see you.
Okay.
Of course.
We have to start with biohacking.
Sure.
Congrats, first of all, on your debut book.
Thank you.
But biohacking really caught my attention.
Yeah.
I want to talk about that first. Can you tell us what that is and what the benefits
sure.
are of biohacking?
So biohacking is intentionally manipulating your biology to optimize your health. So I personally monitor with my Oura Ring and my blood sugar monitor, my glucose, my sleep, my movement, and my stress. And all of these things are drivers of mitochondrial health, which are the batteries of our cells. So we really want to optimize our energy production if we want to live long and healthy lives. But again, remember, women were the original biohackers. So I wrote this book for women because we have to biohack a little differently than men. We have menstrual cycles. We have hormonal changes throughout our lives. We have to biohack our metabolisms, our menstrual cycle, our you know, pregnancies, postpartum, and menopause.
You just talked about energy.
Yeah.
When it comes to getting energy, you say you could also fast. If that could possibly help. Whenever I fast, I felt like I'm about to pass out.
Well, you know, here's the thing about fasting. Fasting does what's called flip the metabolic switch. Your, you know, cellular batteries are basically, your cells basically have like hybrid engines. They can run on carbs or fats. But if you don't have good metabolic flexibility, fasting can be really challenging. So I do recommend in my book a whole sequence of learning how to fast by first starting with things like whole foods, cutting out snacking, starting with some ketosis for getting fat adapted.
So take it slow.
Taking it slowly and literally letting your body adapt over time. But remember, I actually don't recommend fasting for everyone. People who are under significant stress, people who have undiagnosed or untreated thyroid dysfunction, people who are serious athletes, you know, they're already burning a lot of calories. They don't necessarily need to fast because it does a lot of the same things that fasting does. People with eating disorders, it's really not best for them. But people who have insulin resistance, people who have prediabetes, diabetes, PCOS, fasting can be a great tool in the toolbox for fixing metabolic dysfunction because it does really help improve insulin sensitivity over time. It's also great for women going through perimenopause and menopause to help manage their weight. Because as your estrogen levels go down, your insulin sensitivity can change. And I also recommend fasting for people who are sedentary, people who don't move a lot, because it does a lot of the same things that exercise does.
Okay. That's good to know. Now, we talk about this a lot, exercise and recovery. What's the best time to exercise?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
He likes to go right after work. I like to do it a little later in the day. Can you talk about the timing of all of that
sure.
and just the recovery and how important all that is?
I mean, personally, I believe the best time to exercise is when you're going to do it and when you'll be consistent. Because one of the biggest challenges is people maintaining consistent routines. So honestly, I just recommend whatever works for my clientele because all exercise is better than none. But I also teach people that exercise intensity is important to balance with your stress levels in your life. So too much high intensity exercise can actually damage mitochondria. So doing like over 150 minutes a week of high intensity exercise, like Orange Theory or Barry's, not necessarily great for you. But you can do as much moderate intensity exercise as you want because that's really conducive to optimal health.
So don't do Barry's or something like that high intense every day.
Yeah, okay. I've had clients who do 7 days a week of high intensity exercise and they just break their metabolisms. They have trouble losing weight. And I'm like, well, you're doing too much. But I also recommend that women time their exercise with their cycles and their hormonal changes. So during your follicular phase, you have the most estrogen and you're actually the most insulin sensitive. So you burn carbs really well, which means you can do the higher intensity exercise and hit your personal best. But during your luteal phase, you have more progesterone, less estrogen. So you're going to burn fats more effectively, which is why moderate intensity exercise is better for you. And you're also just lower energy during that phase anyway.
I'll have to put this segment on repeat because I'm learning so much, you know, getting so much information. Dr. Maloof, thank you very much for being here. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Got to get in tune with your body. Make sure you pick up a copy of The Spark Factor. It is on shelves Tuesday, wherever books are sold.
And up next, right here on GMA3, the nation's longest running winter festival.
Yeah, it's dating back all the way to the 1800s. We will take you inside this winter wonderland for something really beautiful. Bundle up. We'll be right back.
All right, welcome back, everybody. As folks across the country are bundling up for a cold snap after the second winter storm of the year, St. Paul, Minnesota is gearing up to celebrate the frosty season at the 137th St. Paul Winter Carnival, beginning back in 1886. Yes, this is the oldest winter festival in America, a 10-day-long celebration filled with dozens of events that attract more than 100,000 spectators from around the world.
It is so cool. We're paying a visit to the carnival right now with award-winning ice sculptor and this year's master carver, Chris Swarbrick. Chris, thank you so much for joining us.
Chris,
ah, thanks for having me.
Okay, so Chris, 137 years, what an incredible run. I love this tradition. I'm sure families have been coming here for generations and also visitors from all over the world. For those of us who've never been, tell us what the Winter Carnival is all about.
Well, the Winter Carnival, like you said, started in 1886 when some East Coast reporters said that Minnesota was a barren wasteland and there's no fun here in the winter. So the city organizers started a festival, and it's been the longest running winter festival ever since. And we just love it here because it's 10 days of just enjoying the winter, getting out. We take over the city of St. Paul and just have a fabulous event.
And Chris, we should point out, you've been taking part in this event for the past 25 years. What does it mean to the locals there?
Yeah, so like, yeah, this is my 24th year. I started my ice sculpting career here at the Winter Carnival. So we get hundreds of thousands of people that come out. There's 50 plus events that go on throughout the city that everybody gets out and just enjoys our winter and embraces it.
Now, Chris, you don't get a title like Master Carver without knowing a thing or two about ice. We see the little sculpture behind you, but tell us how you got into it.
Yeah, so most people learn in culinary college, but I got in kind of backwards. I got in, started a molded ice company, and so I was trying to sell people molded ice sculptures, and they'd say, oh, that's a great swan you're trying to sell me, but really, we want a swan on a heart, and oh, if you could carve our dog beside it, that'd be great.
That's so a lot of requests
there. I had to learn pretty fast. Yes, exactly.
That's so cool. Okay, you have so a special surprise for us?
I do, yes. So you have to come all the way to St. Paul. We have to have your own special.
Oh, wow, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
That is so
cool.
Yeah,
so we torch it up, clean it all up.
Now, what does the torching do to it?
The torching heats up the ice and really turns it into crystal clear.
Oh, wait, that's pretty cool.
So it gets out all the imperfections come out, and it just comes out nice and crystal clear, yeah.
And this is why you're the master carver, my friend.
Yeah, that's right.
That is so cool. Can you freeze that and save it for our executive producer?
You bet, yeah. We'll send it back.
He's like, good luck with that.
I'm in a water bottle by the time you get it, yeah.
She said send it to her mom instead. Her mom's out there. You can send it to her.
Okay.
All right, Chris, thank you so much, and the best of luck to you, too.
Thank you.
That is pretty cool there.
Have a wonderful day.
All right, you too. And up next right here on GMA3, 15 million followers.
He is here in our studio. Don't go anywhere. We'll welcome Jake when we come back. Stay with us.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Please welcome singer, songwriter, Jake.
Jake is in there.
Yes.
What's up? What's up?
Jake,
thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, good to see you.
I didn't know you were this tall.
Yeah, I'm quite the giant. 6'7".
Quite the giant. The gentle giant here.
Yeah, there you
so
go.
So Upside Down went viral back in 2020, and you've been topping the charts ever since. Did you ever think you would make it from, you know, creating music to your bedroom to where you are now?
You know, it was never part of my plan to become an artist, actually. I just loved writing songs. By now, I've written over 1,000 songs, and I've just loved that craft of writing. And so I started posting on TikTok a bunch. bunch of stuff started happening. I was like, you know what? I'm going to just start posting my own music. And so, yeah, that's how I got here. It's pretty insane.
Look at me now.
Oh, look at me now. Yes. Okay, so let's talk about Golden Hour. We've been playing it on repeat. We love the song. It's on the Hot Billboard 100, number 11.
Insane.
And you have said this is your favorite song of all the ones you've written. Why?
You know, Golden Hour to me, it just felt like one of those moments that you can't really recreate. It's just a moment of inspiration where everything just flows out. The song came out of me in like less than 20 minutes. And so
you wrote this in less than 20 minutes?
Pretty much.
He's a genius.
But you can't really recreate it. It doesn't happen like that all the time. And so this one's really special to me.
Wow, I can't even write a script in 20 minutes.
He wrote a Hot 100 for years, all right?
No. Thank you so much, Jake. We are so excited. This is What Blank Feels Like is available everywhere. Music is sold and streamed.
This is amazing talent here.
Thank you so
much. You
should
be so proud of yourself.
Thank you. Thank you.
Wow, that was beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Wow, that is what you need to know on this Thursday. Thanks for joining us here. Make sure you come on back tomorrow. I'm Rhiannon Alley. I have goosebumps still.
I do too, yes. I'm DeMarco Morgan along here with Jake, the Jake right here. For all of us here at ABC News, have a wonderful day. Awesome job.
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one Group Text you won't want to exit.